Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church, Warrensburg, Missouri, where it is our goal to bring people to a genuine and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this podcast will be a blessing and encouragement to you.
I have you and nothing else. I have everything. I think Scrat kind of portrays that with his relationship to that little acorn. And so I'm going to go ahead and invite our kids to join me down here, even if you're up in the balcony. Come down here and join me on the stairs. We're going to talk about something that, they always say that things come in cycles, something that's come back into being popular from 1999. And so maybe some of your parents were into this back in 1999, but it's super popular right now. We got some more. Anybody that identifies as a kid even, just come down. We'll just fill you up in here. So 1999, something that was super popular was Pokemon cards. Everybody know what Pokemon cards are? Pokemon cards, little pocket monsters, right? There's actually a national shortage of Pokemon cards right now, just like so many other things. And with Pokemon cards, like many other trading cards or whatever, you have a little bit of like a treasure in front of you. You don't know what's inside. You open a pack, and it could be really good things. It could be just okay things. But there's just that excitement behind opening that and seeing what's there. And so I have some Pokemon cards here that we're going to give to some people that can answer some questions, all right? So we're going to start with some questions from what we've been talking about in previous weeks in Kids Zone. So hopefully you are here to know some of those things. We've been talking about some parables. And parables are stories that have a point, or an earthly story that teaches about a heavenly reality. And we had some parables that we've talked about in the last couple weeks. Does anybody happen to remember a parable we talked about in a previous week? Yes. The parable of the lost coin. That's good. Yeah, we talked about the parable of the lost coin. Which other ones have we talked about? The parable of the prodigal son, that's right. We talked about that too. You guys can open those. We're going to need those in a minute. So, and the parable of the lost sheep. You know, those were the three parables that we talked about, right? And I have one other question. If anybody knows anything about Pokemon, can somebody guess what my wife's favorite Pokemon is?
Pikachu.
That's a great guess, but it's pink. So maybe that narrows it down. Do you think you know? Ooh. Whoa. Somebody over here guessed it. Good job. Who got the Jigglypuff, right? So, go ahead and open those. You guys can look through those as we're thinking about this. But last week in Kids Zone, you guys learned about and we talked about the fact that Jesus teaches sometimes some really hard things. He says some things to us that may or may not make sense. And last week we talked about how he taught us that he is the bread of life. And he told us to eat or partake of him. And that really confused people. What does it mean that Jesus is the bread of life? How can we do that? And so sometimes he asks or he tells us about hard things. And sometimes we have tough decisions that we make. But there's something that's changed with Pokemon cards in between like when I collected them and now. They have these guys, like the big Pokemon cards. Anybody ever seen these? So who has something that they would be willing to trade me for these? You can sit down. My daughter's loving the stage here, you know, so I'm going to need more than the cup card there. Who has something? What do you have there that you're going to trade me? So I need everything you have. Are you willing to give me everything you have? Is that the only one you have? If you'll give me everything, I'll give you this. Does that sound fair? You give me that one. You give me everything. And then you get that. There's actually a little one behind it. But one of the crazy things is when you give everything to Jesus, we're going to see today that he ends up giving you back even what you tried to hold on according to his riches and his plan and his glory. And so sometimes that was pretty quick to give one, but luckily someone had given her one. Not everybody felt like they had one there, but you know, as we think about this, Jesus asks us to give everything to follow him, but sometimes we're not willing to do that. Sometimes we hang on to those things. And so you guys can go ahead and head back to your seats, okay? Head back to your seats. This weekend, as a nation, we stop and we celebrate, we pause, and we think about those who were willing to give everything for our nation. The different men and women who have lost their lives protecting our freedoms. And so as we celebrate Memorial Day, in that we see a truth that John 15:13 reminds us of. That greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And so we see that in the sacrifice that those men and women have made on behalf of our nation, on behalf of those who are oppressed, and just the freedoms of those all over the world. And so we're very grateful for what they've done for us. But even more than that, we see a picture of the sacrifice that they've made. We see a picture of the sacrifice that Jesus makes for us, and that he lays down his life for each one of us. And we're going to see when I come back up in a little bit that there's two men that feel like Jesus laid out the bargain of a lifetime for them. And so we'll talk about those two men. But as we stand and sing together again, I want us to think about this truth. Are we willing to give everything for this God that we sing to? Do we truly yield our lives to him? Or are we holding back?
Please open your Bibles to Matthew 13, 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field that a man... buried in a field that a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in sea of fine pearls. When he found one priceless pearl, he went and sold everything he had and bought it.
So we've been introduced to Scrat this morning. We've been thinking about what we would be willing to give up for something if we would trade everything for something of greater value. And I want to introduce us to one other individual. He's a Ecuadorian street dog named Arthur. And so in 2014, his country of Ecuador was hosting a vigorous race. And so that race is called the Adventure Racing World Championships. And it's up to a 10-day race that the competitors use different styles of transportation to get through this 400-mile course. So there's hiking, there's climbing, there's cycling, there's all sorts of different extreme sports that they're doing. And so as they go along that route, this team from Sweden crossed paths with this dog. And so on the fourth day of the race, the team was taking a break, and the dog approached them. And so as you're taking a break in a race like this, the clock starts on day one, and it never really stops until you finish. So every break you take is against your own time. So they're just trying to get enough to get going for the next section. They're sitting down. As I said, they're the team from Sweden, so naturally they're eating Swedish meatballs, and they throw this Swedish meatball to the dog who has come along with them. And so the dog, he was injured. He was a bit mangy, but he ate that, and then the team kind of moved along the way, and as they kept going, they realized they had somebody with them. So the dog followed them. They figured eventually he would turn back and go to where he came from. But after a day and a half of this dog following him, they decided it was time for him to get a name. And so they named him Arthur after the famed King of England. And so Arthur joined this team, and he kept right along moving to one of the most grueling points of the race, which is a 14-hour kayaking stage. And in this stage, they get into their kayaks and start to paddle in the night, and they hear the dog jump into the water with them. And so he swam beside them as they kayaked through this 14-hour stage. And so the team and others would say it was just ridiculous, even insane, that somebody would join this type of race, especially in the condition that Arthur was in. Most humans would not have had the endurance or stamina to complete this, let alone an injured dog. But Arthur had left everything to follow these people. He saw that leaving everything he had behind was better for him, and he traded everything for a chance at new life. And so the team didn't win the race, but they decided they needed to do something for their new friend. And so as the team finished their race, they decided that they would reach out to others to see if they would fund an opportunity for his medical needs to be met. And so they received those funds, and eventually they were able to take him back to Sweden, where he joined one of their families. And so Arthur got a literal taste of something that was better than anything that he had ever had in his life. And he experienced compassion and love like he had probably never had before. And for him, that allowed him to be all in for whatever was next with those people. He was willing to give that away. So while Scrat constantly pursues the one thing that he sees the greatest value, that one thing was just poured on his lap, and Arthur chose to follow that. Both of those situations remind me of the two men that we've just read about in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 reminds us that the kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field that a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one priceless pearl, he went and sold everything he had and bought it. You see, these three verses teach us three truths of the gospel that display the importance of us pursuing the kingdom of God above all else. Each of these situations display how the gospel is valuable to us. And so the parables both speak of us encountering the gospel because the kingdom of God is valuable. The treasure and the pearl both represent the gospel. The treasure, one hidden that is discovered, as well as one that is seen and given immense value. Whether it's the case of the treasure or the pearl, both of the people who came across them knew the immense value that they had. And you might be asking, well, why is this treasure buried in a field? That's a great question. Treasures were buried in fields because banks at the time were not very trustworthy, as well as the fact that there were raiding marauders or robbers that could come, as well as fire that could destroy things of value. So families took what they had and buried them on their land. By burying it, it would be free from those people stumbling across it or from fire or other disaster taking it away. Another important thing with those fields is the fields, when somebody died, they were usually passed down through the family. So by burying something in the family's land, that immense value would stay within the family and would be passed on to the person who took it over. And so these families would be able to maintain the treasure that's there. Pearls, likewise, were very valuable. They were a very scarce commodity in ancient times. Because they're rare and they take time to find the creatures that create them as well as to open them and hope that there's a pearl in there, it's a very valuable thing. And so when the trader saw a pearl of great price, it was not just that they saw a pearl, but they saw a pearl that was immensely more valuable than anything else that had been there. Both of the items, as soon as the person found them, they knew exactly what they needed to do to get this. It was extremely valuable and it would cost them everything. In the first service, there was a little bit more of a struggle about giving all that they had to get that one larger Pokemon card. In the same way, there's a struggle for many of us to give everything we have to follow God, to react to the gospel by yielding our lives to Him. Because you see, it's not just that it's something that has to be valuable for us, it also has to be desirable for us. It's not just that we know it's worth a lot. There are many things in life that are valuable, but there's many people who are not willing to put in the effort or to take what is needed to procure those things. Right now, playgrounds are full of boys and girls that are trying to be athletes. Every boy dreams right now to be Patrick Mahomes and making the millions of dollars and winning the championships, or possibly Tom Brady, depending upon what part of the country you're from. Or to be Steph Curry and to be draining threes, or LeBron James and dunking on people. A lot of us have those dreams, and a lot of us had those dreams as children, but we realized we weren't going to be able to do what it was going to take to become those things. It was valuable, it was something we wanted, but we weren't willing to allow our desires to carry us through that. But you see, both of these people, they're not gloomy as they pursue this treasure. You look back at the passage, it says he in joy goes and sells all that he has. He also reburies that treasure, knowing that not just he sees it as valuable, but that others would find that and see it as valuable too. And you might be saying, well, why did he go and bury the treasure again? Why didn't he just take it? Well, in Jewish law, the treasure that was there belonged to the person who owned the field. So in order for him to rightly procure what he saw as valuable, he had to work through the appropriate steps. He had to purchase the entire field, and by doing so, he would have all that was inside it. He knew that if others came and found what he had unburied, they would try to do the same thing. So he knew what he had to do to keep it safe. Reburied it, goes, and sells all he has so he can buy that field and have the treasure that was there. But it's not just that it must be valuable, it must be desirable, it also must be attainable. In order for us to have something that we would be willing to give everything up for, we actually have to be able to have that. The first man discovered his treasure by accident. The second searched for it. Both men, when they saw the immense value of what was there, they gave everything to possess it. And the beauty of the gospel is that our ultimate treasure has already been paid for. Regardless of who we are, what society might say about us, God in his infinite grace sacrificed his son on our behalf. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us that we might be the righteousness of God. You see, God paid for the treasure we seek already in the restoration of the relationship that we need with him. And he asks nothing of us that each one of us cannot do. It's not dependent upon how much money we have. It's not dependent upon what race we are, where we live, any other thing that we cannot change, but solely upon the confession of our faith. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9 reminds us of that. And Elvina Hall was a 45-year-old woman who found herself sitting in a choir loft one day. And as her pastor was praying, she was reflecting on that truth, the fact that Jesus had paid for our immense treasure. Being in the choir, she had nothing to write, but wrote down on the flyleaf of her hymnal, "I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." You see, she understood that Jesus had paid everything that was needed to be paid. And because he had paid everything, he asked all of us. He paid it all, so he required all of us, which meant that we must yield our entire lives to him. There can't be things that we hold back and say, "I want to follow Jesus, but this." Hopefully this week you were able to read through the reading plan with your families and you encountered some of these people. You encountered the rich young ruler who was not willing to give all to follow Jesus. And when Jesus said, "You've done all these good things, one thing you lack, give all that you have to the needy, then follow me," he went away with great sorrow, for he had much. You also came across the disciples who, when they interacted with Jesus, when he called them, they left their nets in the water, their boats in the water, and followed him. You came across Nathanael, who, when Jesus said, "I know you," even before what you were reading under that tree, he knew that he had interacted with the Messiah and was to leave everything behind. But a lot of us are like some other people we read about in the Bible. We read about Achan as we think about Jericho. The victory that took place at Jericho, they moved on to Ai, and at Ai, they decided that they were going to continue to listen to God, and God told them, "You'll devote this entire city to destruction." But Achan, he took some of the plunder with him. He had the desire for the promises of God, but not the desire to obey, and that cost him and his family their lives. Because you see, we see in God that he asks for our complete devotion, and anything less than that from us is us not willingly yielding our lives to our Lord and Savior. We're inclined to say that a person who discovers treasure anywhere or in any form and then walks away is a fool. But many do that with the gospel. The gospel is preached. It is the answer to our individual and community needs for this life and for eternity. But despite that fact, millions simply walk away and continue in their spiritual poverty. James Montgomery Boyce comments on that as he walks through this parable and the fact that many people encounter the gospel at some level and yet choose not to respond in faith. So the question that is laid before each one of us today is, how do we respond to the gospel, or how have we responded to the gospel? Are we like the two men we see in these parables? Have we given everything for the treasure that God offers? Or are there parts or facets of our life that we continue to hold back from giving to him? When we do that, we display the great truth that partial obedience is disobedience. When we do that, when we hold on to these things, what we're really telling God is, "I want your promises, but I don't truly want you to be Lord and Savior. I want the good, but I don't want to be under your authority. I don't want you to be the one who walks with me through all these things. I want to hold on to me, me, me." So as we think about that this morning, hopefully each one of us is willing to ask that question of ourselves. What is it that keeps us from following God with all we have, with our lives, with our families, with our money, with our time, whatever it is? What is it that we're not willing to give God in response to the gospel? Because the gospel is the good news of what he's done for us, what we could never do for ourselves to restore us to a right relationship with God. Here in a second, we're going to sing a song together. And as we sing, "Come to the Altar," that's a call for us to lay our burdens down at the feet of Christ. You know, sometimes as I was a kid growing up in churches, people would still come down to the altar. We give you that opportunity to come to pray with our elders and to do those things. But I pray that this morning, you and your families would have a conversation about what it means to follow Jesus. What does it mean for you as an individual to do that? What does it mean for you to lead your family in that direction? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the truth that it displays. We thank you for the ability that you give us to respond to it by asking nothing of us that any of us don't already have. So we thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you that you made that treasure accessible to us. We thank you that you give us the opportunity to respond to that by yielding our lives to you. And this morning I pray that each one of us would consider the path that lays before us. Are we willing to give all to follow you? Or are we holding back parts of our lives? We pray that we would be like Scrat, that we would be like Arthur, we would be like those who are willing to give all for the thing that is most valuable. We pray that as we do that, you would draw us to you, that you would equip us with your Spirit, that you would encourage us with the believers and the body of Christ, that you would give us the ability to live in obedience to you, and that in doing so, we would be the men and women you desire us to be for you and your kingdom. We pray as we contemplate this, we pray as we sing about this now, you would continue to allow us to wrestle with that truth in our hearts, and that you would allow us to walk forward in obedience. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is intended to be a supplement to your local church and cannot replace your regular involvement there. If you are not currently part of a local church, we would be happy to assist you in finding one. Simply contact us through our website, www.fbcwberg.org.